Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Did we announce Scott and Teresa? We did. Okay. Yeah, I had to. What's that?
Where were you?
I was in the back. Yeah. Busy. Yeah. I was going to come up here and say something nice about you, too, bro. No, I'm not. That was just really good Lord's Supper meditation. And I thought, boy, wow, you could turn that into a message. And good illustration, but just a good reminder there. Galatians chapter 2 this morning. Just a reminder, we got shotgun preaching tonight. Really looking forward to that. Fifth Sunday of the month. Happens a couple times of the year, so... when we get here this evening, there will be four or five verses up on the board. And pick them up, guys. I only ask that you're on the roster normally. If you're visiting from other congregations and you're on their roster, you're welcome to sign up. If you've been on the roster in the past and you're not right now, but you want to pick one of these verses up, just touch base with me. It's not a free-for-all. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Anyway, so looking forward to that. But it's also the fifth Sunday of the month, so this morning's going to be a little unconventional, so be ready. Are you ready? Who's already nervous? You guys all went, what's he going to do? Nothing I haven't done before. Galatians chapter 2 says, verse 4 says, it was because the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage, but we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your sacrifice, for your leadership. Lord, we thank you for your divine nature, that you are love, that you are merciful and patient and kind, and that you are light. Thank you for the word of truth. Lord, thank you that we have access to the word of God, the ability to be assembled together as like-minded believers. Thank you for everything you've done for us. It was brought out so well today. Thank you for the battle. May we run to the battle, because we're on the side that wins. What person runs into a battle? We get to run in knowing that we win. Thank you for being the perfect father, the perfect leader, the one that ensures our victory. Lord, may we be willing to fight and stand for your truth and in this battle. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I made this point recently, really up at peaks, but then somewhat quickly when I was going through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I just wanted to add one element onto it. So here we see that false brethren sneak in, and they're trying to teach things contrary to God's teaching of truth, contrary to the word of truth. And in verse 5, I mean, you want to talk about going into spiritual battle? Verse 5, Paul says, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour. Standing on the truth. People can spin their web of lies. This is the word of God, and there is no other. Amen? And then he says, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. I've made this point before, but I want you to think about this way. Because Paul took his stand to these false teachers, not even for an hour, didn't even back down. The truth of the gospel was preserved for you. So how important, I mean, do you think this is the only time that the truth of the gospel was preserved because men and women took a stand for truth? Did those things only happen in the first century, or do they still happen today? We are in the midst of a spiritual revolution where the concepts of the inner man being renewed and overcoming are being preached in full force. Amen? And that transformation process takes place in the inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit as we behold the glory of the Lord in the Word of God. Amen? a spiritual revolution. There is a stand that you have taken, will take, and will take in the future where the gospel will be preserved for generations after you. Let's be those who make that stand. In verse 6, he says, "But from those who are of high reputation," who he'll label as Peter, James, and John later, "of those who are of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. On the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles, recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, Cephas, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that they might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do." This is what I want us to see. I've referenced this. Paul shows up and he does the legwork to prove that since becoming a Christian, the majority of his preaching and teaching has been done on his own. And he hasn't even face-to-face met or spoken with the apostles. And that's important because he meets them here. So they get together in a meeting-type sense. Paul immediately starts sharing about the things that God has done through him in his sharing of the gospel to the Gentiles. And Peter, James, and John are sitting there going, "Oh, it's the exact same thing we're doing. Oh, you're teaching this. Oh, Jesus did this miracle. You've seen Jesus resurrected." All of these things. And they're like, "This guy's preaching the gospel." Isn't that a cool feeling? For me, you know, family camp, my first family camp's overwhelming because it's so many people. I wasn't married at the time, so everybody was trying to set me up with everybody. And it was like, whoa. Okay? And but my second family camp was really awesome because it was like, wait, you live where? In the middle of Hindi country? Wait, you live in Africa? And you're in Florida? And you're in Canada? And you're in Colorado? And you believe the word of God? I mean, all the way down to immersion for remission of sins and the Holy Spirit, overcoming in the inner man through the glory of Jesus Christ and the word of God. Oh, man, isn't that exciting? And then the next step is like, you're my friend. You want to get your number and we're going to team up. And I know people in Colorado. I don't know very many people in India, but you know, I know people in Colorado. I need you to talk to this person and this person. Because the second you notice that you're aligned on truth, there becomes fellowship. And so these guys, in a similar type sense, you know, since Paul arrives, he's like sharing them about his teaching and the gospel and what Jesus revealed to him. And Peter's like, "Whoa, that's right." And James and John are like, "That's exactly what it is." And then once they realize, yeah, Paul's been given the responsibility by God to go to the Gentiles, just as we know Peter's been primarily given the responsibility to go to the Jews. As soon as they realize that, what does it say in Galatians 2? "They extended to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship." This isn't a backyard campfire with kumbayas and s'mores, although that can be fellowship. This is fellowship at its core, founded on the truth of the gospel. And if there is no truth, there is no fellowship. Okay, now that's the part that I've brought out recently, and now I want to add on to it here quickly. I got permission from Rex. Rex was talking to me about a week or two ago, and he said, you know, Rex is from Iowa and was initially introduced to the RLDS, the Reformed Latter-day Saints. Kind of a whole story there. They were originally in Illinois, okay? And then they were headed west to Utah because Utah wasn't a part of the states. Anybody know why they were leaving Illinois to go to Utah out of America? Turns out you can't practice polygamy in Illinois, so they had to leave and flee the country. They made a stop. Well, and so, you know, Joseph Smith gets himself thrown in jail. And so Brigham Young is the one who brings them out west. And they make a little bit of a stop in the Midwest. And then there's a disagreement, so a sect of Mormonism is formed called the RLDS. There's actually another sect called the FLDS. They're just further south in Texas. And their ruler's still in jail because he had too many, you know, 14 and 16-year-old wives to this day. Okay. So he said, that's a little bit of, Rex's history is this Reformed Latter-day Saints. And he said, you know what the church reminds me of? If you've ever talked to Rex. Okay. You know what the church reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit of the Mormons. Now, wait. Nolan, now understand. Hear me out here. And you know why he's doing that, right? Because the Mormons observe a different testament of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that this is the word of God with salvation. Okay, so he's like, no. Hear me out. Like, these people here really care about each other. Do you see how he made the connection to the Mormons? Okay, now look, I give them credit for that, don't you? My parents lived in a town down in Nevada, outside of Mesquite, Nevada, where I'd say, not 95 out of 100 houses you pass are Mormon, a very heavily populated Mormon community. And that's just the result of bringing those people from Illinois out west. And so my dad told me that when him and my mom drove the truck down to Bunkerville, they pulled it in the street. 5 minutes later, there were five or six guys that had walked over and were already helping them unload the truck. Isn't that great? Would that happen in your neighborhood? Well, it's because they're not Mormons. Okay, my dad passes away. Okay, we drive down to go help mom, and we basically got one purpose. You ain't staying in Nevada. You're coming to Montana. We don't care about your job. We don't care about your retirement package. You ain't staying here by yourself. You're coming home. Pulled that U-Haul there. How many hours was it later, Kendall? Ding, ding. Y'all need help? Sure do. Is it kind of a chore selling a house? You can have two people who are like, I want it, and I want you to buy it, and here's the price, and then you can have it 2 months later. Inspections, closing deals, all this stuff. They took care of all of that for us. They said, just name your price. Okay? Now, there's a little bit of motive there because they want, their next brother in the pew next to them to live as their neighbor to fulfill, make sure that the 95 out of 100 stays 95 out of 100 and doesn't become 94 out of 100 and some unruly denominational Christian moves in next door, right? I'm joking. There was a motive there, but they took care of everything. Okay? And Rex is saying, a group of people who are widely known for that, he's like, that reminds me of that here. You know why? Because you guys care about each other. And you step up and you take care of each other and you help each other. And these are his words with his permission to share. Okay? Is that Bunkerville community founded on true scriptural fellowship, though? It's not. Because it's founded on the Book of Mormon, which is a different testament of Jesus Christ. It is only true fellowship if it's founded on truth. And Galatians 2 is a really great example of that. If you turn on over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Didn't I tell you that every once in a while, maybe on the fifth Lord's Day of the month, I was going to get you out of here early? Today is that day. But I got thinking about it. What did I want to leave you with? Look, not all of you have it in your budget to go to lunch today. Make plans to go to coffee later this week. Is there fellowship in this building? Is it founded on the truth of the gospel? And is Rex right? We really do care about each other. Is he right? Is he right? He is. So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning with that foundation of truth to enjoy some fellowship. Maybe it's somebody you know, somebody you don't know. Maybe it's somebody you know and you haven't, you know, spent a lot of time with them recently. Maybe it's somebody who just really needs a big hug and a free lunch. Make plans. It's founded on truth. Baptism in Jesus' name is for the remission of sins to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? As new creations, can we overcome the sin in our life through the Spirit who indwells and renews us? And is it all possible because we can see the glorified Christ in the Word of God? I feel good about the pillars for the truth here. How about you? So let's enjoy the fellowship that comes from that. Because in Philippians chapter 2, I was going to give myself till 11:15. So I got two more minutes. Hold on. Pull your Bibles back out. I saw you. If there's fellowship, in verse 2, make his joy complete by being of the same mind. That's what we're doing this afternoon. Continuing to push, to build and on those foundations of truth, to be of the same mind. Do you want to be of the same mind, brethren? I do. Maintaining the same love. United in spirit. How about intent on one purpose? What can Jesus Christ do through this local body in Billings, Montana, if we are intent on one purpose? That's what I wanted to leave you with here today. Here's your short message. Go enjoy the fellowship, but it is for the purpose to make the Spirit's joy full of being intent on one purpose. That's making it to heaven. That's only possible through Jesus Christ. We dedicate ourselves to knowing the truth of his word and sharing it with anybody who will listen. Amen? Okay, go have fun. Let's stand.